What's happening, everyone, and welcome to this another edition of the Dell and Keith Show. I'm Derek Kernahan, and as always, I'm joined by my very good friend, Keith Anderson. Keith-o, how you doing tonight? The night before the Benfica game, are you nervous? You buzzing? You ready to go?
I am good, mate. I'm very much buzzing. I've definitely got a big game feel about it. I can't wait. Well, how about you?
I'm the same, mate. I've just seen a video that Rangers have just released now on their social media stuff. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It's just came out.
No.
And it's got the old it's got the battle fever going, as they say.
Aye. I am
well excited for tomorrow. I'm just looking forward to, you know, an important night at Ibrox, and obviously the games are getting more and more important as they go on. You know, we're getting close to the end of the season, but there's always something special about a Thursday night at Ibrox, isn't there?
Aye, that's it. As the games get fewer, everything becomes more important when you've got something to play for, so that's very true. But as you say, Thursday, Ibrox, European nights, it's turned into something special of late. I mean, our lifetime, you wouldn't say that, but the last 5 years since Gerrard, obviously, and then Gio, these have been very, very exciting nights, big nights, lots of good nights. So, nah, man, fantastic. Can't wait. It's not quite a night anymore, I suppose. It's maybe more evening or whatever, but I'm still looking forward to it.
Aye. A dinner time kickoff, you would say, wouldn't you? Quarter to six. Quarter to six. But yeah, weird time for a kickoff. But, oh, well, it means you can go out and celebrate, I guess, by going to the pub a bit earlier if you want to go to the pub. You'll be plenty of time to have a couple of pints after the game anyway, rather than, you know, scared about missing the subway or anything like that. So,
True.
So I guess that's good. But other than that, Keith, how's your week been since we spoke? Obviously, since then, we've had, since we last spoke after the Motherwell game, we've had two pretty decent performances, I would say. But other than that, mate, how's your week been?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Busy, usual stuff. But nothing up nor down majorly. Can't complain. How about you?
I see. Just been busy at work. I finished next week for a couple of I finished next Wednesday for a couple of weeks. Go to Tenerife for my birthday and stuff like that. So, looking forward to finishing. But as it's always busy when you're finishing up in it.
Aye, mad dash to get everything lined up and sorted as best you can before you disappear for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and then I was at the weekend. I was at Easter Road, so we can sort of discuss that as well in a bit more detail. I was in the bad books for disappearing on Mother's Day. You go to go to Easter Road. My wife wasn't too happy, but that's just
she's not your mother.
I know exactly. That's what I said to her. It didn't go down too well. But the Teddy's won. That was the main thing. So so we'll discuss that. But let's have a quick chat about the Benfica game, which was, you know, it was it feels like so long. It does feel like so long ago, and it was only like a couple of days ago. You know, it was less than a week ago. But it does feel like a lot's happened during that time. And we got a respect, very respectable to each draw, which we probably should have, you know, should we have won it? I mean, it was a pretty close game at times. You know, but however, their goals, I think, were obviously rather lucky. But obviously, we'll discuss that in a wee bit, but. I'll go through the team for you then, Keith, just before we start looking at and have a wee chat about the team. So the team was Butland in the goals, Tav, Goldson, Suter and Yilmaz, Diomande and Lundstrom in the middle of the park, Sterling on the right, Lawrence and Silva playing on the left, and then Dessers up top. What did you make of the team, first of all, Keith, when you seen that, you know, Silva was going about on the right? Obviously, we've been having a really bad luck right now with wingers. We've hardly got any fit, and then, you know, we've seen that Scott Wright went out there, but I thought that, you know, Silva going out there was, I thought he was brilliant in Thursday night particularly. You know, he was really good. You know, he was quite, obviously he's quite skillful and he's quite relaxed on the ball, you know, in terms of getting it. He's confident on the ball, and I thought he put in a great shift in Thursday night. But did you make him out there first of all?
I was a wee bit nervous when I first. I mean, the team was as best as we could. You know, with the injuries, the options. I didn't think there was going to be anything different. Really, the only potential question mark was would they have went a wee bit more solid in the middle? Would we have seen a Ryan Jack come in, for example? Because I know he made the bench. Somebody like that, you know, be a bit more defensive. But no signs of that, which was I was fine with, to be honest. Silva on the left, I thought at Motherwell he came on and it was a bit of a collective disaster, but he was getting in the road a little bit, you know, he was, so maybe no training, just flung it there. I wasn't totally convinced. I don't think he had his best day. But since Benfica, as you're saying, and we'll come out to talk about Hibs, I think he's looked good out there. So we've obviously worked on it, and you know, and it's deliberate rather than, oh crap, we've had an injury, we need to throw him in there. So nah, he definitely played well. I think Benfica, whether it's that he was there as a youth or you know he doesn't support Benfica, he's Portuguese, whatever it is, he was highly motivated. You could tell he was switched on. He was intense. He was up for it. He wanted something. You know, every time he got the ball, if he would win a throw-in, he was giving him a wee smirk. And obviously, he was celebrating the assist. He was celebrating the goals. He was clearly right up for it and wanted to prove a point for whatever reason, probably a couple of reasons. But it resulted in a good performance.
Yeah, definitely. Did you see... Was there anything else that surprised you about the team? Like you said, obviously you said you maybe seen Jack coming in. I thought, you know, maybe a Raskin coming in. But other than that, I didn't really think much because, like you said, we're sort of struggling, aren't we, in terms of players at the moment. It was good to see Roof back on the, you know, Roof on the bench again and getting a couple of minutes. He's looking, I think the more that he plays, obviously he's going to get more fitter. Fingers crossed he stays fit and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a fairly... I was reasonably happy with the team when I seen it because I didn't think there was much else that we could do with it. Maybe for, you know, the game on Sunday, maybe being a couple of changes, but we'll discuss that in a wee bit. But as the game went on, Keith, you know, obviously, you know, I thought we played some good football and obviously getting the early goal as well settled it down, and it was a lovely bit of play by, it was a couple of nice wee intricate passes in there. Diomande with a crossover and Lawrence with a powerful header into the back of the net.
I know it was good play for sure. I think we scored two good goals, and we'll come on to the second one. But as you say, you know, it was good play down the left hand side, which is a theme, I suppose. And Diomande getting that run beyond third man running, they call it or whatever, you know, where he's busting through midfield. They don't track him again. We'll talk about that theme at the second goal, and he finds himself in a good space. He's running out of time a wee bit, you know, with the ball he's running onto. He does a brilliant delivery. You know, how many times do you go low and hard across the front and people can get in the road or whatever? But he looks up, and whether he picks out Lawrence, I don't know, but he obviously sees some Rangers shirts in there, and he delivers a good ball into a good area, and fair play to Lawrence, he gets on it. I think I seen he said he just shut his eyes and hope for the best. Well, it worked out because it went right in the corner. You know, he could have made the connection and could have went anywhere, but it went right in the corner. Great finish, 1-0. Yeah. Against them on a play, you would have to say in the first 7 minutes, I thought Benfica started the brighter, but right up the park, cut them open. Good goal, wasn't it? A weird fluke or anything. It was really good play, and yeah, 1-0 up, buzzing.
What have you made of Lawrence's performances since he kind of came back in? Because that's been a while now. He's sort of been in and about the team now. It's been a good few weeks, and I'm really happy to see him back in the team. I think you realise how good a player he is when he's in there. You know, he's sort of determined, dogged to sort of get in and about the pitch and sort of playing that wee bit further up. You know, maybe like a 10/8 role. He's been, I think he's been vital in there. He's been, obviously, Cantwell's been missing, and he's sort of slotted in there, and I think the position's his until he sees fit. Obviously, we've got struggling with wingers and stuff like that, but maybe something changing. But what have you made of Lawrence, you know, sort of performances over the last couple of weeks, Keith, since he came back in?
Like you say, he's played deeper a couple of times. He's played higher up a couple of times. You know, there's been a wee bit of rotation. Sometimes it's been Diomande up there, and other times it's been him, depending on opposition and whatever. But nah, he's looking good for sure. He's got elements to his game that I really like. I think he's probably getting more minutes than would be ideal. I feel like as this game goes on. Tires. It was an intense affair against a young, energetic, technical midfield. And then at Hibs, you know, I feel like he tired as well. So I think that's maybe more forced than it is. I'm sure if we had everybody fit, the manager would be rotating him out. With his injury history at the club and no long back, that's probably the only downside I would think, is that he's playing a bit too much and he's looking tired at times because of it. But on the whole, I know looking forward to having him in the team, and I think he could definitely be an asset between now and the end of the season, especially if we can rotate him out, if you know, you get Dowell back, Cantwell back, whatever, and we'll talk about some of that later. But yeah, I think he's doing well.
Aye, definitely. So we're sort of 1-0 up, sort of games a bit, you know, we're sort of taken under a bit of pressure and stuff like that. But I think they're coping fairly well with it. Butland makes a couple of great saves during this point, you know, particularly the double save that he makes. That was just fantastic. And, you know, obviously there's the England squad's getting announced tomorrow for the friendlies that they've got coming up in the next couple of weeks after Sunday. And there is, you know, according to Sky Sports,
he's in it.
He's in the squad, which is pretty incredible. You know, it's been a 5-year absence, but in terms of performances this season, and particularly, you know, on last Thursday, and you know, in Portugal, he put in another sterling performance, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he did. He did. As you say, double save, made a couple other good saves. I don't think there was anything that you wouldn't expect him to make, but you know, like there was a few. The first save, I think, in particular, out of the double was good. He gets down quick. He gets a strong hand to it. The second one, obviously, is a wee bit of luck, the way it just pretty much falls on top of him. But he has to react well to just grab it and make sure. But the first one in particular was a really good save. But I know, like you say, he's solid, he's dependable, he makes the saves that you expect him to make, and sometimes he makes ones you don't expect him to make. So, you know, like, just another Jack Butland performance for Rangers, I would say, pretty much.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Hibs game, after we're praising him, we're going to badmouth him in about 10 minutes or so for him. But he's been a fantastic, you know, sort of signing for us over the last 6 months, and, you know, obviously deserves his place in that England squad as well. Because when you look at England goalies, none of them are really playing as many minutes as him and in as many competitions as him. You know, when you look at the competition that he's got out there, you know, Pickford there and Everton are, you know, down the bottom of the league. Ramsdale isn't getting a game. Nick Pope's injured. You know, there's the boys at Palace, is it? There's
Sam Johnson.
Sam Johnston, but they're the same as Everton. They're down the bottom of the league. You know, there's nobody really deserving it and playing as regular football as him, and in as many competitions as him.
Still in Europe and all that sort of stuff. Nah, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. So we're getting up to half time, Keys, and we're thinking. I was sitting watching the game with my uncle, and I said to him, "If we can keep it at 1-0 at half-time, I'll be happy with this." And then as soon as I say that, they float a corner in and then they get the penalty from Suter, which I thought was very, very harsh looking at it, because obviously the law states that, you know, it hit his head and then hit his hand, and then the definition of that isn't a penalty. So I thought it was pretty harsh decision. However, you know, penalty gets taken, Di Maria slots it away and it's 1-1, and you're like, right, okay. And then obviously the crowd's up and the crowd's on their, you know, they're cheering and, you know, they're up for it because they've went through a really bad run recently. So it's gave them a bit of confidence. And then a couple of minutes later, we scored to make it 2-1 just before half time. And it was, again, nice bit of play with Silva, putting a wee ball through and Sterling out of nowhere. I didn't even see him in the pitch when it came in, you know, the replay. You just seen him darting in there and slotting it by the goalie to make it 2-1 just with, I think that was 50 minutes, so it was 5 minutes over the allocated time due to the penalty, the VR and stuff like that but what a turnaround. You know, that was just the perfect response for Rangers, wasn't it?
Aye, like you say, penalty that probably wasn't a, as soon as I seen it, I thought that's not a penalty because he's headed it on his hand, which, as you say, is the rules state is not a penalty. Basically, if it touches any part of you first, if you kick it onto your hand, it's not a penalty. So,
yeah.
You know, like, I am surprised it was given a bit harsh. But like you say, perfect response, up the park, another good goal, another bit of good play down the left, a ball in and a late runner coming and attacking it, pretty much very, very similar to the first goal. And as you say, Sterling out of nowhere. Really can't miss for his first ever professional goal. They've made quite a big deal of that, and good luck to the boy. But I'd imagine it was one of the easiest ones he'll ever score, assuming he scores anymore. You know, he's arrived perfectly, and it's pretty much a tap-in, isn't it? For, I don't know, 5 yards out or something like that. Just worked out perfectly for him. Amazing.
Yeah, it was. And finishing the game, you know, at half-time, you know, going 2-1 up, you're like, right, this is incredible. And you've got to think of the players that they have got as well, Keith. Was it the young boy in the middle of the park, Neves, who wore something like 87? he was, I thought he was fantastic in the middle of the park, the young sort of Portuguese player. I think he's only about 19 or 20. He's already a Portuguese international. And there's talk of
he's a 100 million player in the summer, isn't
he? There's a talk of Bayern Munich coming in for him for 100 million and stuff like that. They've got, you know, they had Di Maria, who is a fantastic player, but it'd be so much better if he didn't do all the theatricals that goes part and parcel with his game. You know, you're like, you don't need to do stuff like that, you know, diving about, rolling about the place and all that. I was just really, you know, I was excited to see him, and I'll be excited, you know, that way you see him tomorrow and stuff like that, but it'll be, I don't like the whole, you know, the whole faking injuries and rolling about the park and all that, just to try and get an opponent sent off. It's no good.
Nah, I mean, the one that he's through on goal and, you know, there's a little bit of contact with Goldson after the ball and that, and he's rolling about like for a penalty and stuff. It's not an attractive element of the guy's game, that's for sure. Like you said, tremendous player, World Cup winner. I think Otamendi, who you'll know and probably have feelings on from City, World Cup winner and stuff like that. So, you know, like you said, their squad's full of talent and, you know, people with good careers and all that stuff. But 2-1 up at half time, feeling pretty good. And like you say, I thought they definitely had more of the possession and the stats wise, more touches in our box and all that stuff. But they never really created anything that was that clear cut, if you're being totally honest. You know, like we said, Jack Butland did a couple of good saves, but nothing that you're like, oh, that's an utter sitter. They weren't exactly carving us open a lot. They had us under pressure. They had the territory, but they didn't really, you know, I didn't feel like we were on the, you know, a boy away for a scalping or anything like that. So we were relatively comfortable.
I mean, when you look at the stats, Keith, as well, they had total shots they had was 24 against their 9, but we had the exact same shots on target. They had 5 and we had 5. So it showed you that, you know, that a lot of the shots that they were hitting were long rangers or over the bar and
low,
you know,
quality.
A couple of bad misses and all that in there as well. But you know, I thought we handled them pretty well. And I think the second half as well, we were under the cosh, there's no denying that, but I thought we were handling them really well. And then the goal, you know, the own goal, which was pretty much, you know, out of nowhere, you know, the ball comes in. I don't know if it was just no communication between the defenders and the goalkeeper. You know, it should have been the goalie's ball all day, or him to shout, leave it.
Let the ball no danger,
No danger whatsoever.
No.
And, you know, Goldson slots it in the back of the net for our own goal to make it 2-2, and you're like, fuck, that's 20 minutes we've got left here. If we can hold out for this, it'll be a great result. And it was a good result, but, you know, it could have been better if it was just a wee bit of communication, because, like you said, it was just, it was nowhere, you know, it was just so, I don't know, like I said, if the communication was operating like that, but it was just so bad.
It was, to your point, I mean, their goals were a soft penalty, if we're being generous, and an OG, which, by the way, Conor Goldson, that's how you finish a header in the box, big man, when you're attacking it. You know, they should be practicing that just at the other end. But that was how they got their goals, pure luck, and they scored a penalty. We scored the other 3 goals, do you know what I mean? So that second goal for me just kind of summed up Benfica a wee bit. It was a good ball, I would say that. But the Rangers players dropped to clear it. No Benfica players attacking it. That summed up their attack. It was either poor balls. We were, don't get me wrong, some good defending and good blocking and good saves and stuff. We get a fair chunk of credit, but they were pretty poor, man. Anytime they did put a good ball in, there was nobody there, which is how they got their goal, funnily enough, off Conor Goldson. And then there was lots of wrong options, bad balls, bad finishes. They didn't really cause us a huge amount, although they did apply a lot of pressure. They didn't cause us a huge amount, and that's summed up by their goals being an OG and a penalty.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it was, you know, overall, when you look at it, you know, getting at the start of the game, if you said to me it'd be a 2-2 draw, you'd be like, yep, snap your hands off, definitely for it. But it's, you know, when you see it, the way that it sort of panned out with a penalty and an own goal, it is a bit you're kicking the teeth in it. But like I say,
it's not as bad as the last time we were there, though, when if you'd offered us a 3 each before the game, you'd have taken it. But we were 3-1 up with 10 minutes to go and should have been 4-1. Kent missed a sitter and then they scored 2 late goals, mind that game. So,
yeah,
you know, we've seen that movie before. It was even worse. So we're heading in the right direction, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, Arnott. Obviously, taking them back to Ibrox, which is, you know, the atmosphere that we're going to generate tomorrow. Tomorrow evening is going to be special, isn't it, Keith? You know, a chance to get. I guess we'll talk about that, you know, just after we talk about the Hibs game. But you know, overall, it was a great result, particularly after the disappointment of the Motherwell game.
Yeah, good response.
Good response for the team overall. Good team play. You know, good performance. Good overall team performance as well.
And we did ask some questions. You know, they brought some questions on themselves at Motherwell about mentality, about you know, that sort of stuff. And they did pick themselves up. Okay, it was only a draw, but it was a way to a good side. That's, you know, that again, a lot's been made about in the Europa League. They've never lost at home and all these sort of things. So it was a good performance. It was a good result. There was lots of things to like about the performance, you know, sticking together, working hard, picking ourselves up, bits of quality, stuff that we didn't really see at Motherwell. And there was a worry of, you know, is this us getting too tired and the bubble busting? And we'll maybe talk about, you know, energy levels and stuff later. But it was a good response when we needed it, because you lose at Motherwell and then you've got Europe and the Scottish Cup. You could find yourself going, you know, from a treble or a quadruple to, you know, hoping for a double and struggling in the league over the course. Do you know what I mean? So it could have got away from us quickly, but they responded well, and they get credit for that.
Yeah, definitely do. They definitely do. And then, like I said, it builds up nicely to, you know, another cup game, which was, let's say, the Easter Road on Sunday night, which was, again, another horrible time to kick off a game, 5:30 on a Sunday night. It was brutal. The bus left, you know, the bus I get on left Partick at 3:00. So it was plenty of time to get through and stuff like that.
Aye.
And then we got through to the game, and getting into Easter Road's a bit of your nightmare. Going over the wee bridge that they've got there, the railway bridge and all that. And then there was three layers of security, you know, like those, is it Rockstead, whatever they're called? I don't know what they're called now. But there was
Bebop.
Yeah. the turtles,
the baddies for the turtles.
There was the security guards. Three lots of them checking your tickets, and they were about 5 yards away from each other. And you're like, your pal's just, you know, your man's just checked it there. Do you need to check it again? Aye. You know, it was mental. But getting to the stadium, game went well, you know, good. I thought it was a lot of sloppy passes, I thought, in the game. Rangers, obviously, sorry, just to go back to that, Rangers lined up with the same team from Benfica, which I was quite surprised at, Keith. I don't know how you were thinking. I was thinking there might have been a couple of changes in there. I thought that maybe Balogun might have played. I was expecting maybe Raskin in there. As well, I was unsure about the wing situation, because obviously Sterling came off, and I seen him hold. He had an ice pack on the back of his leg and stuff like that. So I was wondering how it was going to line up. Were you surprised with the team when you seen it, or did you expect it to be sort of similar?
No, I think, I mean, by necessity it was going to be similar, but I expected to see some changes. I was expecting Balogun to come in. And we'll certainly have a wee chat about the centre halves. Don't think they didn't have their best day at Hibs. They were good at Benfica. OG aside, Conor Goldson was really good, but at Hibs, I don't think either of them had their best day. So Balogun coming in would not have been a bad shout. I thought, like, by the end at Benfica, I thought Lundstrom looked really tired. There was some really sloppy passes, but it's just fatigue. And then Lawrence, as I mentioned earlier, was looking tired. Sterling had the ice pack. So I was expecting a bit, even though it might not have been ideal, even though Raskin was dog meat against Motherwell, I thought maybe by necessity, you need to play him. Maybe you need to, you know, rest Lawrence or Lundstrom or whatever. But obviously, manager felt, well, it's a cup game. It's a one and done. We need to go through. So I need to play my strongest team, which I can understand. But at the same point, I think, you know, with three games in a week, I was expecting some rotation, considering he's rotated every single time. For the first time he didn't, to be when we're down to like 15 players, was definitely surprising.
Yeah, it was a surprise. I was expecting to see a couple of changes, but like I said, they went as the same team as us. And the game, Keith, as well, it was, you know, it started as a bit of a nightmare with Rangers. Obviously, Butland nearly scoring into his own net with that terrible pass back for Goldson. You know, the two of them were sort of messing about, and Goldson passes it back to him. it sort of gets, Burton sort of gets the ball caught between his legs, and then the boy slides in, but luckily manages to get it away, hits the post and goes out. So that was a bit of a warning that we had, and I think that was pretty much, other than a free kick, I think, in the second half, that was only the real warning that Hibs gave us. You know, they tried, particularly at the start of the second half, they tried, but they were never anywhere near the goal. You know, I thought the two centre-halves played well and get rid of everything, you know, in terms of defending. Just sometimes with the passing out, I thought it was really sloppy. I thought Lundstrom stood up, like you mentioned, he was really tired. He looked really tired in the Benfica game, but I thought he stood up really well and commanded the pitch and, you know, dominated the middle of the park. I thought Diomande looked tired. I thought his passing was pretty sloppy, to be honest with you, but it seemed like he recovered it quickly, though. You know, if he lost the ball, he was right in there to recover it again, which was, you know, it was good to see, but he shouldn't have been in that position, if you get what I mean. And then obviously we get a couple of really bad injuries in there as well, with Sterling coming off fairly early after the penalty, and then, you know, we bring McCausland on, then McCausland gets taken off. So it was quite an interesting game in terms of that, and then also the two red cards as well, which we'll discuss as well. But overall, you know, getting the result, and I want to talk a bit about this, you know, the sort of conspiracy theories, you know, all the guys in the green and white who have got their tinfoil hats on discussing, you know, Mason referees and all that, and, like, behave yourselves. Yeah. I thought the referee had a good game, you know, he done everything right. I thought the two incidences were yellow cards. When you look at Albina's one, he didn't get booked for the penalty, which I thought was the correct decision because it wasn't a booking. You know, he's clumsy and it is a penalty, but it's not a booking for it. But he did get booked after that for hacking down Lawrence, which was a pretty cynical one when Lawrence was running through and goal. And then, pushing McCausland and the Rangers physio off the park, and then, you know, slapping Matondo. It was a clear, you know, second yellow card for that. And then the red card was just absolutely ridiculous. That was just a wild challenge. No need for it where he was in the middle of the park either, but they just lost their heads, didn't they?
Aye. I mean, like you say, on balance, I don't think any of them can complain about getting sent off the boy with the first one. As you say, he probably is a kind of game where if he get three yellow cards, he couldn't have argued. So getting two and getting sent off, he's got to live with it. The Matondo one, it's not just that he's raised his hand. Sometimes you can do that, and it's not a yellow for me, but it's also that it's off the ball. It's, you know what I mean? That's the other thing about it. It's not just the fact that he's raised his arm. That in itself, sometimes you're protecting yourself. Sometimes the yellows can be a wee bit harsh. But, it's off the ball. He has a couple of cracks at him as well. He's got the arm up and it's down and then it's back up again. You can't argue with that for me. And then the other one's a straight red. The boy just loses the plot. He jumps in. I mean, he's lucky that the contact with Lundstrom was minimal, because that could have been a real badging. It's reckless, he's out of control, he's endangering an opponent. It ticks every box. So for some of these nuggets to be like, oh, it's, you know, that's not even a yellow card. You're like, really? Let's see him do that to Kyogo or something and then come back to me and see how you feel about it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's obviously a load of nonsense. A penalty, I think I'm against the grain as a Rangers fan. I think that's a pretty soft penalty. I think the Hibs defender's just there, and I think it's more Sterling makes the contact with him, if I'm being totally honest. So I can understand, but it's definitely in the scene I've seen him given. It's from behind. He is a wee bit clumsy, so it's not a clear cut. For me, it's soft. I'm not saying it's not a penalty. I'm just saying it's soft. And if it was the other way about, I'd be a bit aggrieved. I'd be like, what's Suter meant to do there? Apart from he's just trying to run beside him, and, you know, there's a wee bit of a tangle. So I don't know. It was a wee bit harsh, but again, that's football. You know, we got a harsh one on Thursday. So, you know, sometimes you'll get a soft penalty for you. Sometimes you get it against you. But the rest of the stuff, the ref, he didn't have a bad game. I mean, we all slate refs, but he got it right. You can't argue with the sending offs, and they just lost it. And Thankfully, they did a wee bit. I think we held calm, which is great, because, I mean, you know what it's like when the tackles start flying in. Sometimes people can retaliate, and it's often the guy that retaliates that gets the red, isn't it? You know, because he's the one that gets caught easier. So credit to us for that. And I think, again, it was a pretty low quality game, bit of a cup tie. We looked jaded, so I think them going down to nine men helped us massively, to be honest. So thanks, Hibs, for that. Because if they'd kept 11, I don't know. We weren't looking great in the second half. We were looking tired, and it might have caught up with us. I don't know.
Yeah, they came out pretty. They came out well in the second half.
Aye, fired up.
You know, the first. You know, was it the first 10 minutes of the second half? They were on the ascending side definitely. Yep. But I think after that, you know, we sort of calmed down, and obviously we had, you know, the penalty which, you know, Tav missed. It was a pretty terrible penalty, and Lundstrom scored, and then at the end we Silva scored in the goal.
Sorry, just quickly back to the penalty though. One thing about the ref that I didn't understand is, why did he take so long going round every single person and going, you know you're not allowed in the box, you know you're not allowed in the box, you know you're not allowed in it. That took ages, man. And then you're watching it and I'm thinking, Tav's going to miss this, because this ref, no, there was no VAR. Well, I mean, there was a wee bit of that, but it wasn't just that. Even after the VAR check, he seemed to go round the whole 22 other players. Aye, you're like that. Mate, let the guy hit the fucking penalty. What are you doing?
Yeah, I noticed that everybody in the Rangers end was going mental. Like, what's he doing?
Aye.
He doesn't need to tell professional players to stay there. They all know their job.
Aye, everybody knows.
Yeah. So, it was a bit weird. I agree. That was weird and, you know, quite frankly, ridiculous in there as well. And then, obviously, Tav hits a pretty poor penalty. You know, it's a good position for Marshall to save it. And then, luckily enough, Lundstrom comes diving in and, you know, slots it in to make it 1-0. And then after that, I was sort of feeling like we're not getting beat here. You know, going 1-0 up, we're not getting beat. And then, obviously, they capitulate. And then Silva gets a goal at the end to sort of put it at ease. You know, to sort of move on to, you know, now to think about ahead to this week. But yeah, it was overall, Keith, I thought it was a really poor game of football with a couple of highlights in it. Not good highlights either, you know, in terms of their two red cards in there as well. A nasty injury to Martin Boyle. Well, it looked like a head knock from him as well. The atmosphere was good. You know, there's obviously two fans on the we obviously don't really like each other very much, so the atmosphere was good. It was a good atmosphere, but just to get the job done and into the Heart for the semi final where we'll be playing the Edinburgh rivals Hearts. So back to Hampden we go for that. So it'll be again, games are coming thick and fast and we play for, mate. But yeah, it was, like I said, it was good to get the result and get up the road with that. So now, obviously, we can look ahead now to tomorrow night's game, which is going to, obviously, we've talked about it quite a wee bit, but it's going to be a massive night. Ibrox, I think everybody's looking forward to it. Tickets are like gold dust. I've looked on social media and there's people, you know, trying to get tickets everywhere on it. And anytime there's tickets on the Rangers website, they get snapped up within a couple of minutes. It's pretty incredible. So the games are all sold out. It looks like that game sold out, the Hibs game sold out as well, and then the Hearts and the Motherwell game have been sold out. So that's four games in a row that were sold out the crowd. And I think that shows, Keith, where the performances that we're getting, that people want to come back to Ibrox. It's not a chore as it was at the start of the season. And it's not been a chore as it was, you know, a couple of years, you know, through that. So it's great to be in this position, and we just need to obviously, you know, keep our nerve and keep calm in this. Do you see, obviously, there will be a couple of changes in there now because Sterling's not playing. We did find out today that Cantwell's back in, whether or not he's not fit enough to play the full 90, whether he starts on the bench and comes on, or, you know, gets the first 60 minutes and then gets taken off. We'll just need to wait and see. But do you see any changes? Would you like to see anybody coming out or anybody coming in? Because I know I've got a couple, but I'll let you go first.
I mean, again, it's back to who's available, isn't it? You know, so you would think, Sterling's out, right? So the manager confirmed that it's not a massively bad one, but he's out, and you know, for now for sure. So you're like, right, so does that force Matondo in, who isn't quite
McCausland's out as well?
Aye, so does that force Matondo in, who I don't think he's ready for the full time? And then you're like, well, if you're sticking him on the right, you might as well put me on the right. For some reason, he is utterly hopeless as a right winger, but he can be effective as a left winger. We've seen enough to know that. Maybe he'll get space and it's not too bad because Benfica are going to have plenty of the ball and attack and whatever. His pace in behind, his pace on the counter, all that sort of stuff is definitely an asset, but I just don't know. would it be a massive shock to see Cole McKinnon?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think the back five picks itself, doesn't it? There's no doubts. Yeah. Lundstrom's in the midfield for sure. Diamandi's in the midfield. Again, both of them looking a bit tired. Diamandi never really had a pre-season because obviously he came during the off-season from Scandinavia. So, you know, and then Lawrence, again, looking tired, but probably has to play. I don't think Cantwell, if he's got minutes in him, but not a lot, you probably don't start him, I don't think. Silva's got to be on the left, I think. Dessers through the middle. I think it kind of picks itself. It's just, what's the solution on right wing? Probably feels like it has to be Matondo. Unless he comes up with something inventive and it's like Matondo on the left, Silva through the middle and Roof on the right or something like that. I don't know. But again, Roof, even having a gamble with starting him with the minutes and the intensity of this game and tracking back on the right, unless you can put Silva on the right, I don't know, man. It's a real puzzle, but I don't think personnel wise there's too much really that you can change.
No.
What's your changes?
I think you're right, but I'd like to see Dessers drop out and bring Roof in, because I think that Dessers particular, I thought Dessers had a really poor game on Sunday. You know, he done well for that shot that he got. You know, he done well to get the ball and control it and bring it down and cut skin the defender a couple of times and hit it. But other than that, I thought he was totally anonymous. He didn't hold up the play well. I thought the two Hibs centre halves had a very easy game against him. I would maybe bring him out and put Roof in, but my only concern with Roof obviously is he's
the last 20 minutes.
Yes, it's his injury, obviously prowess. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what I would like to see. I don't think it will happen. I think Dessers will start and Roof will come on in about 60-65 minutes.
I agree with you about Hibs. Conversely, I thought that Dessers, although he didn't hold the ball up well against Benfica and Roof, there was a noticeable improvement on that when Roof came on. I did think that his pace and his physicality, you know, did give the less physical probably Portuguese defenders a wee bit more of a problem. Whereas Hibs, you know, back three but full of big physical boys that are used to it. It was much less effective. I think, you know, so there is something there, but again, Roof is capable of that as well, and I'm sure he could give Benfica defenders enough of a pain. So I don't, in theory, I don't disagree. I think it's just we don't know where Roof is at minutes wise. I don't think he's ready to start, certainly not for 90 anyway. Yeah. And I don't know, but it's the intensity of this game, you know, but maybe up front it's not so bad. But I know that the manager likes the forward to be doing lots of pressing. The number nine, the centre forward, is your first defender. They're putting defenders under pressure. They're pressing for the front. Lots of energy. Lots of covering the ground. And so I don't know, man. I think you're right, but you're also right that it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. I would just like to see it, but obviously we obviously don't know the fitness wise of Roof and if he can last that. So maybe it might be a case of, you know, again, Dessers does the 60 minutes and then you give Roof the last half an hour. Aye. On it as well. The winger situation, you know, if Matondo is going to be playing, like you said, I'd play him on the left and I'd put Silva on the right, just to see what happens there. But again, Silva's so good at that cutting in, which is how he got the goal. You know, Lundstrom passed to him, he cut in, started on his left foot, gave a wee jink and cut in on his right and shot. You know, mm-hmm. That's where he can do that. Whereas, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how we cope with this right hand side. You know, technically he could, you know, he might start Cantwell there and then, you know, you bring Matondo on after 60 minutes or whatever just to see what happens. But again, it's a risk considering he's no played for a good few weeks. Bringing him back in and starting in this game. So it's going to be interesting. This is what I like about games like this as well. You know, we don't know. And the fact that we don't, I like also the way that Rangers are doing about their business now as well. It's, you know, we don't know what's going to happen until obviously the team gets announced, which is good. Whereas before there was a couple of wee inklings in there already that were maybe getting stooted about that said, you know, he's going to start or he's going to start. Whereas now it's like radio silence, which is good. I think that's the right way to do it. So it's going to be a good game. And then obviously we've got a team in front of us, Benfica, who are a good team. You know, it's going to be good to see. You know, Friday, you know, Thursday nights at Ibrox under the lights again. It's just going to be a special night, isn't it?
I know it definitely will be. And, you know, as interesting as our team is, and obviously that will have a bit of a bearing on the game. I think with injuries and stuff and the limitations we've got, we're not really going to change that much. I'll be interested to see what Benfica do. What did they take away from last week? What are they expecting this week? You know, what did they see from us that might give them cause to change their approach or fear or whatever? Plus the Ibrox factor. You know, what are they going to do? I think that's also going to have a bearing. Are they going to come out and all guns blazing and attack? Are they going to come out and actually, you know, make some defensive tweaks and be more defensive than last week because they're anticipating us being a bit more on the front foot and Ibrox being wild and roaring and all that sort of stuff? You know, imagine they watch the Leipzig tape. They'd be like, right, we might need to set up a wee bit differently here because if we go at them, they're going to pick us up. I don't know. They've got much more options because they're not got the same injuries that we've got. So it'll be interesting to see what they do as well. I think that's going to be a pretty big factor on the game. But I mean, the game itself, looking forward to it. It's the crowd's going to be good. Another sellout. Randomly, by the way, I heard rumours. I don't know if this is true, but I seen one of the group chats. One of the boys was saying that there's no Benfica fans. They've got some UEFA ban that means there's no away fans.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
No, I've not seen it publicised a lot, so I don't know if the boy's talking nonsense or misinformed or whatever. So, want to look out for it. You might find that there's a small number or none of them. Apparently, they got some UEFA trouble with their previous rounds. They've had like flares, and you know they've had some issues. So maybe it's a reduced capacity instead of none. I don't know, but there might not be as many of them as you would think. I don't know, but we'll find out tomorrow. But either way, there'll be enough for us to have a good atmosphere. If there is some of them, that'll help the atmosphere probably.
Yeah.
But regardless, if it's full of us, then you know we'll be right up for it. There'll be plenty of noise. I'd imagine plenty of people taking half days, having a few beers, still going in. Some it might not be 8 o'clock, but to a lot of people, it is going to be. You know, I think there'll be plenty of that, even though probably less so. But there'll still be plenty of people right up for it and be a brilliant atmosphere, man. I just think hopefully we can inspire the team, because you'd have to say Benfica are still favourites for me. You know, they've got the quality, they've got their options off the bench, the squad depth that we are maybe lacking a wee bit, but we can make it special, as we've seen before. Leipzig were the favourites, they were a better team than us, they were leading. All these things are true, you know, so you never know, but it's another big, big ask, I think. So the crowd will be playing a key part.
Yep, that was going to be my question that you're mentioning about half days and stuff like that. What time are you finishing work at the morning?
I'm just going to get away early. I'm not taking a half day or anything, so I'm hoping to get away half 3-4 o'clock at the latest. What about you?
Yeah, I'm about the same. I'm not taking a half day, but I've obviously spoke to the powers that be in my work and said to them, look, I'll be leaving early, so I think I'm going to log off, to be honest with you, about 3 o'clock. I'm owed quite a lot of hours, so I'm just going to log off then.
My work's slightly different.
I'm taking my nephew with me, my brother, who I usually sit beside, is in London, so he's away in London for work, so he's asked me to take my nephew, so Ollie boy gets to go again and get the Friday nights under the light. And Ollie's Thursday night, I keep saying Friday night, Thursday night under the lights again. Ollie's first European game, actually, Keith, just to mention that, was 2 years ago today against Red Star, which was an incredible night.
The 3-0 game?
Well, yeah, you know, the penalty saves and all that as well.
That was wild, man.
Yeah, so fingers crossed the wee man's good luck again and gets us through. So
we could be doing with that. I mean, we must have had some luck that night, because I remember at half time, I think it was 3-0 Rangers, and I'm like, this could easily be 3-0 Red Star. They were brilliant.
Yeah, they were. And was it
could he score penalties?
Either. How many penalties did they get? Was it one or two that night?
They got two, but I'm sure there was another retake. You know, three penalties, could he score?
Yeah.
You're like, this is bonkers, man. I remember that game looking a bit at half time going, what did I just watch? I don't know what's happening here.
So fingers crossed the wee man's good luck after that. Mm-hmm. And then after that we've got Dundee away, and then it's an international break for a while. So and then the games will come again. We've got two very important home games. We Hibs again at home, and then the week after that we've got Celtic. So
aye,
it's gonna be a busy couple of weeks, but it's going to be good. I think it'll be good for the players to have the international break when it doesn't have a rest.
Massively.
Hopefully there isn't a lot of them called up for international duty, and I mean that would be the best will in the world, because I think there's only Suter in the Scotland squad, which I probably expected, because Jack's now injured again after playing 13 minutes against Benfica. Don't know how he managed that, so he's out. McCrory, I didn't think we'd get in because he's not played. couple of, I think Dessers might be in the Nigeria squad.
Oofed.
I know he might be in the squad, so he might be travelling to Africa. But other than that, I don't think there's a lot of them will be in the squad. Obviously, Butland hopefully will be in the England squad, which will be great for him.
Aye.
But other than that, I don't think there'll be very many else. I don't know if Raskin will, maybe Bill Raskin's just came back from injury and he's not played that well. Will he be in the Belgium under 21 squad, or else is it maybe they've seen him and went, no, we're not touching him now? So there doesn't seem to be a lot.
Aye, the fewer the better, as you said, mate. I totally agree with that sentiment. No disrespect to the boys, but it's friendly season and all, isn't it?
Friendly, so we'll be playing. So again, for Butland, it's good to get him back in for he's been a 5-year layoff and stuff like that. But the rest of them, I'm a bit like, right, let's...
Plus, he's a goalie, you know. Yeah. It's not like he's going to do the same amount of running about. And don't get me wrong, for all of them, it's as an individual, getting a call up and getting a cap for your country, I'd imagine, is a big deal, and well done to anybody that does. But selfishly, as a fan, the fewer the better, because we definitely need the rest. You know, that was something I was going to ask you about, is how are you feeling about the squad, how it's looking in all the games? Are you worried that we've got too few bodies and that it's going to be too big an ask? I'm thinking back to Manchester, you know, where it was just too much and we ran out of steam and it cost us near the end of the season. Are you worried something like that's going to happen again?
Not yet, because I believe in this squad. I've got a big belief about them. You know, in the way that they're playing well. And plus, there's a couple of boys due back as well. You've got to think about it. You know, we've got Cantwell due back. And now he'll be on the bench. We'll get Simon, Danilo, who are back in training again. So they should hopefully be back by, you know, the middle of April, which is probably a good time coming into the run-up as well. You know, Sterling will hopefully be back then as well. So there is a number of players due back in.
Dill be back. He's back in training.
Is he Dill back in training? The mystery man, I've not heard of. You know, he got injured in when they went to, where was it they went for winter camp? Was it
Malaga?
Spain?
No.
Malaga?
Someone's been aye.
They went to, I think it was Malaga, I think you were right the first time, and he's not been seen then because he cut up in the grass or something like that.
A shaky pitch, wasn't it?
Yeah, so he's not been seen since then, so having him back in will be good as well. So there is guys due back in, which I'm happy about. I mean, it sort of showed you, Keith, that, you know, Clermont obviously went to strengthen like the middle of the park and the wings and stuff like that, which was understandable. But, you know, obviously, bad luck has sort of done it again with the wingers, because when you see Sim injured, McCausland injured, Cortez injured, Sterling injured, you know, Wright even injured as well.
Jeez, you know, I know.
Aye, there's been a lot of injuries in there, but we're just sort of scraping through. And if we can able to get through this, and, you know, the main thing that everybody wants in it is the league. Without anything else, that's what we want. I would take a double right now. I'd take the League Cup and the League over anything.
Even the Europa?
Yeah.
Aye. I mean, the odds, I mean, we'll see how we go in tomorrow, but there's the odds, we'd need to get really lucky in the draw, I think, with me. You know, you need to avoid Liverpool, Leverkusen, AC Milan, you know, there's a couple of Roma you're looking about going, some pretty heavy hitters. I mean, Leverkusen are running away with the Bundesliga. You're thinking, who wants to play them, man? They could arguably be the best team in Europe outside of like Man City and stuff like that. Now, do you know what I mean? They could be anybody. So, you're definitely, man. Europa's a long shot. Not that I'm getting it up, but it's a long shot. I think, like you say, league is what it's all about. But you're only two games away if you're listening to Scottish Cup. So you know, I think it just depends. For me, it's two games. It's the old empty the tank, 2 weeks to recharge over the international, hopefully get some bodies back, and then see where we are. Because, you know, if we don't have any bodies back, it's going to be a struggle, man, for sure. It's going to be a struggle. You'd need to get the league wrapped up sooner rather than later. If it's going to the last day, you would be, you know what I mean? If you want to kind of wrap up with two games to spare or something like that, because we'll start getting really tired, and it'd be a real challenge, I would think, if it goes to the final day, energy level-wise. But, listen, we'll see how we do.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see how we do. So, I don't like doing this, Keith, but I'm going to do it. Will you give me a prediction for tomorrow? You're just going to say no, and then we'll finish the podcast.
No, mate, you know me. I'll stick my neck out on anything. What you want, a scoreline or just who goes through?
Give me both.
3-2 Rangers in extra time.
Oof.
We'll go through.
Extra time, that's the last thing I want. An extra 30 minutes in the boys' legs.
No, I agree. But I think there'll be goals and it'll be tight. So, I mean, I don't know. Who knows, right? But I'm going to go. Let's go for 3-2 Rangers in extra time. But hopefully it's 3-1 in normal time or something like that. But I think both teams are going to score. What about you?
2-1 Rangers. I'd take that easily in the 90 minutes. Like I said, I think there'll be goals.
Aye.
In it. But also, I think we've got fairly... I think the two boys at the back will be up for it. Butland will be up for it after hopefully his good news. We'll get through. I'm always confident with us, particularly when we're playing Ibrox in Europe. The last time that I wasn't confident, pretty much seen as in Europe, was probably the Leverkusen game, 4 years ago, which was only last week. And I think that was the last game that we seen before COVID.
I was locked in the next day, wasn't it?
Yeah, because I remember that game, Keith. I remember it so vividly. Me and Gary, my brother, went over to the game and we went into the Loudoun, and the Loudoun was jam-packed. Like, you couldn't move in it. And we were like, this doesn't feel safe. They're telling people not to go into crowds and all that. And so,
aye, nobody gave a shit. You know, nobody was like, well, that's COVID. People were like, geez, a pint.
Yep, we actually couldn't get a pint, so we left and just went for a walk around the stadium and stuff like that, and done sort of things like that. But I remember that, because I think that game as well, I just didn't feel confident getting that, because obviously we were a goal down, weren't we, in that game, or a goal or two down in that game for the first leg. And we get smacked, and that was the last time I've never felt confident in Ibrox on a Thursday night.
Leon, yeah, I felt the same getting into Leon game the next season. I think it was the next season when they done his 2-0. I thought, like, their Leverkusen level, this is probably not going to go that well. I'm sure that was the first leg, was it not? 3-1 they beat us, and then we played the second leg like a year later after COVID. No?
So we did, sorry, you're right. Yeah, we did.
I was the same as you, and I remember me and a couple of boys for work went to Oswald's in town for a few beers, totally stacked, got on the subway, couldn't move, got into Ibrox, and you're like, nobody's giving a shit about COVID, the Rangers are playing. And then the next day, like, not like Leverhus. Not like Leverhus in all of Europe. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't even just Glasgow or Scotland or anything. It was crazy, man. But
yeah, it was.
Nah, I think...
Because it was an Old Firm game due that weekend. I know that because it was my birthday. And I ended up ill with COVID for my birthday that year. So that was a great one. So I think it might have been the Rangers game at Leverkusen, it maybe gave it.
Probably. I'm sure a lot of people got COVID that night. But I don't feel like I did at Leverkusen or Lyon. I feel better. I feel like I did. I was going to say Dortmund, maybe not Dortmund, because obviously we were 4-2 up, but maybe like your Braga or something like that. Do you know what I mean? It feels like we're very much in this tie. Yes, they've got quality. Yes, it could easily be them that goes through, but I feel we're in with a real shout, and you always back us at Ibrox with a full house on a Thursday night, as you said. So, man, I'm feeling pretty good, but could go either way. Really could.
Yeah, definitely could. Definitely could, mate. So it's all to play for. I definitely, and I think that's probably a good place to call it for the night, mate. And, just to say thank you to you, mate. Thank you for everybody listening. I hope your team wins tomorrow. And like I said, me and Keith, we haven't even talked about the Dundee game. Obviously we've got that game, which is, on Sunday. But we'll discuss that next week when we're back again. So all I can say is thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Keith. And I hope your team wins tomorrow.
All right, cheers, everybody. Appreciate your time. Thanks, Dale. Always good to catch up. And as you say, on the Rangers, hope your team wins tomorrow.
Yes, mate. Until then, we'll speak to you soon. Take care, guys.
Cheers.